Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broder. We're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, Chris. I have an issue. I have problems. I have things that I need to come to terms with and fix in my life. That doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon, though. I have become the sort of person who buys magic tricks off the internet.
No, that's the first step to downfall.
It's the first step to men's rights activist, and the next step to men who, in bright red shirts bothering women in the street doing day gaming. I wanted to, on a slow week on the Football Ramble podcast, I wanted to enchant and surprise everyone with a flame trick. And I bought this little thumb thing. I've not got it with me, so I'm not going to do it here.
So it's
been a complete waste of time, though tax deductible waste of time. A little flame trick with some kind of cotton, flammable cotton. You go like that, and it's all, you know. I was bringing the razzle dazzle on an international week, which is always a little bit slow for the news stories. And then I saw this advert for a cane on the internet that's about that big, and you flick it. And then it becomes a big long cane, right? And it came in the post last night, and I tried it out, and I've cut my hand on it.
Oh God!
It's much less a cane, more a series of concentric sharp metal pieces of metal, and it's really dangerous.
What's the aim of this cane thing? What does a cane do?
It's very small, and then you flick a button, and then it gets incredibly big. But
really?
The problem is, it's a piece of shit, and you don't buy it. If you see that advert for that on the internet, do not buy it, because it is rubbish, it doesn't work, and it slices your hand up something chronic. And you will have seen it. They're everywhere. And I went, right, I'll just go to Temu or Blummin', AliExpress, and I'll just get, this, and it costs £1, because I was ordering some other stuff on there. And, I've sliced my hand up. So don't buy magic tricks off the internet, because you will either set fire to house or you will hurt your hand.
Jesus, bloody hell. Honestly, why do you get all this stuff? So did you master the magic tricks there? Did you get to the point where you...
No.
It just
looks like I'm lighting a. It just looks like I'm lighting. It doesn't look like
a Molotov cocktail.
Flames have come. Yeah, it doesn't look like flames are coming up my hand. It just means that it just looks like I've got a lighter, and I don't care who knows it.
God, I remember when I was a kid, I bought Paul Daniels magic. He's a big magician in the UK, and
yeah,
I remember getting
a lot.
Like a th- a thimble or something, sticking like a needle through my finger. It's just like, these aren't magic tricks, just self-harm, do-it-yourself, self-harm kit or something. It's awful.
Well, that's the thing that always
gets
me about, like, magic tricks. Like, people create these magic tricks and then they put them online. Like, most people who will show you a magic trick have bought it on the internet. And they've, all right, they've learned how to use it, but it's not like... It's not... I find magic problematic at the best times. I hate being cheated. I don't like being lied to, Chris. I just always think with them, they're just being silly boys. And they're buying the things off the internet.
I'll never forget the highlight of Natsuki the movie. When we went to the UK, is Natsuki almost broke his neck in a wind tunnel, right? Which wasn't a magic trick. That was
yes,
just stupid.
He did, yeah.
Almost broke his neck. And he went to an acupuncture clinic. Yeah, he went to an acupuncture clinic in London, in Bromley, I think. And this guy had a stick with a flame on it, honestly. And he was like putting it in a cup and suctioning cup Natsuki's back. And at the end of it, as Natsuki's thank you to the guy called Terry, he did a magic trick to say thank you. A magic trick that involved putting a Chopper Chups lolly flat on his hand and nudging, like doing something so the Chopper Chups lolly stood up upright, like on his hand. And to this day, I don't know how he did it. I don't know the science behind it. It was moderately impressive. And there's just an amazing shot of Terry, who is quite tired after a long day of working in an acupuncture clinic, just slowly looking at the camera like, what the fuck is this? Who is this man? Why am I being filmed? What's going on? Honestly, poor old Terry. But to this day, I don't know how Natsuki does the Chopper Chups lolly trick.
I think he just moves. I think you can... get away with just tilting your hand just a little bit, and it really does have amazing effects to a...
Don't spoil the trick. Natsuki revealed. Natsuki's secrets revealed.
Exactly. I'm like the Durham Brown of... I'm like the Penn and Teller of Natsuki's magic tricks. But I mean...
Darren Donaldson.
Big news. Darren Donaldson. Darren. My... There was a lass who actually got me my first radio job, who I won't say who it is, for reasons. She outed Darren Brown on the radio. And I went...
What?
Mate, I don't think that's public knowledge. I don't think that's public knowledge yet.
Outed him. Oh my god, outed.
Cool. Yeah, outed.
Oh my
him. The classic outing, so to speak. But yeah, interesting.
Jesus.
What was I going to say? Chris, my car, the Toyota Century from 2000, is on the way. It is on the boat. It is currently on a boat. The Wisdom Ace left Yokohama on November 11th,
I saw a Japanese ship got hijacked by Yemen the other day.
Oh, shut up! It didn't! None of that happened. It is now just basically going around the horn of, Orchid Island, just next to Taiwan. Just going around near... down the bottom of... No, exactly. Yeah, it's miles away. It's not going to get here for bloody age. So I'll be. I think it's the first week of January. I think they're expecting it to arrive. So
it's
that'll be fun
arrive.
to basically fart about with a car that may or may not be broken when it is the coldest month on record. Just titting about with a really cold car.
Isn't that astonishing? Like your car is going to traverse the entire planet. As it makes the halfway point. A boat with some Houthis rebels from Yemen will turn up Yemen and they'll take the boat.
This is my Toyota Century now, they'll say. Yeah.
It'll be driven around in battle. But I did see a Japanese ship got hijacked the other day by some rebels, and I'm glad your car wasn't on that. That was the least of my thoughts when I saw it, but I'm glad it's just seaborne, it's on its way, and it's coming. It's going to be the ultimate Christmas gift.
My
Japanese taxi car.
There's some people who are involved in Stack whose sort of history, before they started working with us, they provided security for maritime companies. So ships that go around provide, AK-47s and Kalashnikovs and blocks to ward off any plucky pirates off the old off certain regions of the world, and they did say on a couple of occasions they'd rather work with Nigerian warlords than deal with some of the people in the media industry in London. At least the warlords keep to their promises, they said.
Oh,
at least
God.
The warlords keep to their promises, oh. Which is a lovely little quote, don't they?
Real life Captain Phillips there, Peake's car, coming
yes,
in hot.
Exactly.
Well, let's fingers crossed it arrives in one piece. That's going to be quite the journey. Should have strapped a GoPro to it and filmed like a time lapse for 2 months.
Yes, fun.
Missed opportunity. We got a story from Nadia this week. It says, "Hello, Krusty Chris and Peculiar Peake." Krusty Chris. Oh. "During my year abroad in Japan in the summer of 2018, I was commuting from my part-time job in Shibuya. It was a scorching hot day, so I opted for a comfortable A-line dress paired with white trainers and socks. Now, as a black woman in Japan, I often stood out a bit, but that day I attracted more attention than I expected. The train was predictably crowded, and I found myself standing while engrossed in my phone. I could sense a man standing behind me, peeking over at my screen. Initially, it made me slightly uncomfortable, but I brushed it off. We've all been curious. After a few stops, a seat finally became available, and I decided to take it while continuing to use my phone. To my surprise, the same man who had been eyeing up my screen decided to sit next to me. Again, his curiosity got the better of him, and he kept glancing at my phone. After about 7 stops, the man finally mustered the courage to strike up a conversation. He turned to me and asked...
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
Reading ahead. Oh,
he turned to me...
Oh, good. I'm glad he did that.
And asked, "Are you Naomi Osaka, desho? You're Naomi Osaka, right?" I couldn't help but burst into laughter because, aside from being black, I shared absolutely no resemblance to the tennis superstar, Naomi Osaka. Undeterred, the man continued, "Oh, but you must be good at tennis." At this point, I pondered how to explain to him in Japanese that I have dyspraxia and had no tennis skills whatsoever. In the end, I settled for a simple, "Yokunai desu yo, I'm not that good." The man seemed a bit embarrassed by his assumptions and promptly apologised. To my surprise, he got off at the same stop as me, oh for fuck's sake, and offered me his phone number, suggesting that we must become friends. It was undoubtedly...
Oh yeah, let's have more of that. Yeah, brilliant. Let me find out how deep this goes, shall we?
It was undoubtedly one of the most peculiar interactions I've had during my time in Japan. All the best, guys. Nadia, definitely not Naomi Osaka. Definitely not good at tennis. Yeah. What a great story. I can't.
Yeah, I mean
assumption.
Welcome to the least richly diverse country in the world. Good God, yeah.
I don't
ever
walk up to like random Japanese man in London and be like, "Sima sen, are you Ken Watanabe? Are you Shinzo Abe?" Like, before he died.
Yeah. you had 2 choices there and you picked one man who was dead. Brilliant.
All right. Hideo Kojima? Are you
Hideo Kojima?
Poor man having some...
To be
like,
fair, Hideo Kojima sometimes does... So you sometimes he does sometimes walk around Leicester Square. I think he.
Nice.
I think last time he was in town, I think he might have walked past that curry house, that Japanese curry house, that chain. Though we've got one behind Charing Cross Station. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not great. Sorry, I got through that. There's so many stories that we read out on this podcast when we go. Yeah, sorry about that, Nadia. Sorry about that. Mate.
I mean, that's rough. Can happen. My good friend editor Marcus. He was in Kyoto, just standing on the platform, and he turned and he saw a Japanese man and he went, "Are you Shigeru Miyamoto, Nintendo legend?" And he went, "Yes, yes I am." And he went, "Can I have a photo?" And Shigeru Miyamoto was like, "Yeah, sure." So there you go. You never know. You could be stood next to Shigeru Miyamoto if you're lucky. Mm. He was very lucky that day. But no, what a ridiculous story.
No.
Naomi Osaka.
Well... Good stuff. Good. I mean, to be fair, I did go to Iceland and go to that bar, and there was the only Iceland celebrity I know. The bloke who plays Albanoi that I spoke about in previous episodes of this.
What I like is, on the podcast, we have some folks who produce the sort of plan for the podcast, right, of like a story, the news, all this is in our document. And usually... Yeah. They go ahead and they're very nice. They write some talking points, some ideas to spark conversation.
We always ignore them.
We always ignore them.
But they keep trying.
I like the gesture. And underneath this story, the talking points section is just completely blank. They're like,
just nothing.
Fuck it.
Yeah, just nothing. Just like,
nothing to discuss. Nothing to discuss here.
Yeah. What have we learned? Nothing. Did we like the story? Not necessarily.
I like that.
Sorry
story.
About
funny.
That.
That's hilarious. Yeah, fair play to Nadia. Yeah. Good writing there. That was a funny story. Well written.
Yeah.
But news.
Keep up with the tennis.
Yeah.
Keep up with the tennis.
We've got a news story. It's been a while, Pete, since we mentioned bears. All the bears.
Bears.
What's going on? So this year there's been more bear attacks than like ever before because there's been no food for the bears. The bears have been coming out. Mm. All the food's gone. I'm not even sure what bears eat. It's not Famy Chicky, unfortunately, or cup noodles. It's nuts and berries. And for whatever reason, the harvest was really bad this year. So the bears are like, shit, there's no food. So they're getting emboldened. Poor bears are going out. And things are getting out of hand. Fill us in, Pete. What's going on with boars and bears and all the wildlife in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, you teed it up with a lot of bear chat, but this is very much a boar-related story.
A There's wild a boar here, and he's called Pete Dawson.
And it's me. A wild boar was spotted near an 8-story office building, 600 metres of Chiba Station, a bustling transportation hub.
Surrounded
by department stores and commercial high-rises. In 9 hours that followed, the beast had popped into a nearby 7-Eleven. A junior high school across the street. She'd injured a man in his 30s inside the grounds of an apartment complex. Imagine coming out of your plumbing lift there's a boar there kicking off. And also rammed into a taxi before trotting off into the night. Eventually, 20 or so officers tracked the boar down, and after an aggressive battle where they were rushed a bit and shoved, the 42-kilogram female boar was sadly killed. There have been a spate of reports in recent months concerning various animal sightings and even attacks across towns and cities in Japan, the most frightening of which were perpetrated by bears in the northern Tohoku region. There, your bears. And between April and November, there were 58 incidents involving 66 people harmed by bears in Akita. And it's not just about Akita. Basically, a lot of like urban centres are beset by these bears and boars and quite dangerous animals. Wasn't there a guy? I mean, I will say for one, the talking points are absolutely full of ideas and things to talk about. Thank you, people, who put together the. Thank you, producers. Lot of chat. You were silent in the last one, guys. I think there was a news story around. I think it might have been a senator in the US who, after the 50th school or mass shooting in that month, he was sort of basically saying, I need my assault weapon because, I need my assault rifle because, what if 30 fully grown adult boars enter my property? I think people sort of like laughed at it. It's like, this guy is just, you know, he's just a gun nut who just wants to keep a gun. But boars are incredibly problematic, incredibly aggressive, incredibly physically imposing.
Incredibly delicious, I'll have you know. I used to work at a castle and we'd serve wild boar. My God, the bap. We'd get like a breaded bun with the wild boar.
A breaded boar bap.
Oh, it was so good. I still can't stop thinking about it 12 years later. Not that I want to kill all the boar. I like boars. I think they're kind of cool. But they are dangerous. So there's a lot of them in the mountains in Fushimi Inari Taisha, the shrine, the most famous popular shrine in Kyoto. If you go up there at night, I mean, we had a story a while back where one of our listeners was strolling around, like taking in the ethereal sight of 10,000 red torii gates, and then they heard like something like that, and they heard like, and it wasn't like a strange individual in a bush. It was like two wild boars going to battle in a hedge nearby. So you've got to be careful. The boars are there. The boars are there.
Going into battle. Are you sure they were going into battle in a hedge?
They definitely were.
Sure, it couldn't have been something else? When a mummy bear loves a daddy bear very much.
Oh, God. Oh, horrible thought. But yeah, I mean, journey across Japan, we're going up to Akita and Aomori. And I saw a map recently of bear attacks in Japan. And most of the country, there's nothing. And then there is like this very ominous patch on the border of North Iwate, Aomori.
Border.
And Akita. Boar, a wild border.
And border.
It's not so much red dots as just one big strip of red. And we're going to be spending like 6 days there, so that should be fun.
Yeah.
Search out the bears. I feel bad, like Ryotaro. Ryotaro knows somebody. They have like bear hunters. I think they're called Matagi bear hunters in Akita. And Ryotaro is always like, you know, I know somebody that does it if you want to cover it in a video. And I'm like, I don't want to cover that. I feel that's a bit, I don't know. I know it can be important. I know it's important.
It's quite divisive, isn't it? It's
divisive.
Anything where you're controlling a natural population of animals, you are, you're asking for trouble. I mean, you did just admit that you wanted to eat a boar in a bap, a big Baobun bap.
Well, I mean, this is where the debate gets shaky, isn't it? I have no moral high ground here. I've eaten bears because that's what they eat in Aomori and Akita, different parts of it.
What's
I wouldn't
it like,
eat it again.
Bear in a bun. What's bear in a bun like?
I've never had bear in a bun, but bear soup is
a beautiful
quite
bear
common.
In a bun.
It's quite common in Akita. It's quite thick and chewy, and I don't really like the taste of it. And I don't know. It's weird. Like we're weird humans. How we're like. We eat beef and pork and all this stuff, no problem. But then you picture like a nice bear. Maybe because I had a teddy bear that I liked. You picture these nice creatures and you think, oh, food, that's not right. Even though, I remember like when I did the video about the horse meat, I got more hate on that than nearly any video I've ever made. It was like, who could eat a horse? You're a monster. Even though that's like the local dish of Kumamoto and Aomori. In Aomori, they eat everything. Everything that moves. The fish, the bears,
is it
all sorts.
Is it fair to say though that with horse people, you either like a horse or you're very indifferent to it. And when
like
you like it, you really like. Like people who like horses really like horses. You know what I mean? I'm a dog person. Yeah. I really like dogs. That sounds bad. That sounds bad.
Yeah, sketchy.
You know what I mean?
I think it just where do you draw the line? It's all a bit. If you're somebody who owns horses or does horse riding, of course the idea of eating a beloved creature that's part of your family is not going to go down too well. But it's delicious. I'm just saying. Basashi, raw horse meat with a bit of garlic and soy sauce. It's nice. I don't eat it much. I think I eat it like once every 2 years, if that. But it is a thing. And if you go somewhere, Kumamoto or Aomori, and you're somebody that wants to try the local food, then, you know, go for it. Go for it. But
go for it.
I don't choose to... I don't choose to kill the horse. I think that's sad. But then I eat all the beef.
I'm glad someone had
the guts
to say it.
This argument,
I don't choose to kill a horse. Yeah, if,
I'm
if a bit falls in my mouth.
Like a good friend of mine, he only eats animals and fish if he's caught them. But how often do you catch a horse or a bear? So he basically eats like some nuts and some berries.
Isn't it, isn't there people, fruitarians, who only eat things that have fallen off trees rather than, touch the tree themselves and knock it off?
Indeed. I will eat the trees. No more bear for me.
I will eat the trees.
But anyway, enough about bears. We'll be back just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
We've got a message from Heather. Hello, Heather. Ahoy there, Pepper Pete and Chris. I'm a little hesitant about visiting Japan with my partner and friends, as they will eat pretty much anything. However, I'm vegetarian and I'm picky and I have a couple of food allergies. Is it possible to order plain rice at most restaurants? Would most places accommodate such an odd request? I think it might be, although depressing the safest route. Loving the vodcast on YouTube, by the way. Warmest regards and all of the best wishes. Heather. Yeah, you can't you? Balls of rice, pretty standard, isn't it? I don't think it necessarily adds anything more than a little bit of vinegar to them, do they?
So, you're talking about sushi, rice, or...
I just think just like a bowl of... Like, pretty much every place I've ever eaten in Japan, there's an option to just have a bowl of rice, so you should be all right with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rice, it's fine, yeah. Yeah, no problem. I feel bad now. We've talked about eating every form of creature known to man, all of God's creatures, and we've got... Heather, the lovely Heather, who's a vegetarian. So, yeah, no, you're fine. Honestly, Heather, no problems there. Usually every Japanese restaurant you walk in now, the first thing they ask is, like, arugi, arimasu ka? Are you allergic to anything?
Yes.
And you go, yes or no, and it's fine. They take it very seriously, so don't worry about it. I just hate the word allergy in Japanese because it's arugi.
Arugi.
Really hard to say. Arugi. Oh, I can't do it. It's the only word harder than cold brew coffee, which is cold brew coffee. Cold brew coffee. I can't do it. If you're allergic to cold brew coffee, you're fucked. You are so stuffed. Arugi arimasu ka? Boku no arugi wa cold brew coffee, like a fucking nightmare. Hello, Chris and Pete. George from Minnesota says, I've watched the Abroad Japan channel pretty consistently. The first video I watched, having been the one where you teach Japanese people swear words. My God, that was a long time ago. Thanks for sticking around, man. I've had a busy schedule, and so I missed a few. So I've decided to binge watch all the videos I've missed over a weekend. This made me nostalgic, so I decided to recap the original Journey Across Japan series. I noticed the videos in this series were mostly shorter than your current videos. I know part of the reason was because you wanted to make daily videos, but I feel like in general the videos you made at the time were shorter than the ones you make now. I want to ask, has the length of your videos changed due to you having to submit to the almighty YouTube algorithm, or is there another reason? What kind of videos do you prefer making? Keep up the solid work. All the best, George from Minnesota. Good question. I know YouTube generally favours longer content. Watch time above all else, right? So if I make a 5-minute video, it compares your current video to your last 10. And if your watch time is really bad compared to your last 9, 10 videos, YouTube will just not promote the video, as has happened a few times. Whereas if it's longer and the watch time's great, woohoo, you're in. But at the end of the day, it's a balance between click-through rate and watch-through time. I like making longer content because I don't make that many videos. And I feel like if I'm going to only be able to have someone watch Abroad Japan once or twice a month, I want to have them there for a good 20, 30 minutes so I can tell a story, show somewhere new, or go in depth on something, right? But for the next series of Journey Across Japan, the videos will generally be about 20 minutes, I think, for each episode. So, yeah, 20 minutes is the sweet spot for me, I think, to be honest, if I can. You know.
Like this podcast. We're a bit longer, aren't we? We're a bit like this podcast.
Yeah. A bit longer, innit? One last question. Hello, Pete and Chris. Kirsten from YouTube here. This is a YouTube comment. I've been to Japan 4 times so far and was always confused why Japanese, that mostly are extremely polite and call everything oishi delicious, tend to give most restaurants pretty bad reviews, with 3.5 out of 5 being the best you often see on Google or Apple Maps or even TripAdvisor. During my last trip to Osaka, Fukuoka and Kagoshima, I hardly found any restaurant with a rating close to 4. Is this the payback of people being polite, or is there a secret matrix that I just can't see so far? Curious to hear your thoughts. All the best, Kirsten. What do you make of that, Pete? I know for a fact, I asked Ryotaro this once because I've felt the same thing, right? And I generally don't go in a restaurant unless it's got 4.1, 4.2. But it seems Ryotaro told me, like, if it's got a 3, that's good. Like, that's fine. 4's, like, really amazing. And 5 is like God made it themselves, and it's like 5 is like something extremely special, like a yakitori restaurant in the Japanese Alps where they use special chicken or something. I don't know. There's
special mountain chicken. Oh, good.
Special free range special mountain chicken. Special mountain chicken. It comes at a premium. There's a restaurant, like the highest rated restaurant was a yakitori place called Yanagiya, I think, in it. They use like local game meats and things that are supposed to be really good. They got 5. But I rarely see above 4.6 or 4.4, actually. So, yeah, 4.1 is the sweet spot. But that's why, right, Pete? Have you found that on your trip, on your travels?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of like culturally... obviously, you know, Google reviews and TripAdvisor and stuff that transcends boundaries. But obviously, like a 7 out of 10 in the West might be completely different in the East. And you have it a lot, like with like video games. Like people get unbelievably upset. I do a podcast called VGC, a video game podcast. It's very good.
Name dropping,
I have to recommend it.
Other products, unbelievable.
Hey, I work bloody hard on that. Well, I don't. It's mainly horse about other people, but I'm sometimes on it. But it's really good VGC, and we have like they get criticised roundly if they give a game a 7, like, which to all intents and purposes, a 7 out of 10 is pretty good. You know, I think we've sort of live in this world where everything has to be the best thing in the world, 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10, and anything in between is like, imagine just being good. Everything has to be bloody brilliant. And so, like, 7 out of 10s are quite toxic in the video game community, and you're having, like, Metacritic and stuff. Like, people get very upset that you have reviewed a game at a 7 rather than an 8, or an 8 rather than a 9, or a 9 rather than a 10. You know, if people giving, like, is it Breath of the Wild? Was that the second one, or Tears of the Kingdom? Tears of the Kingdom was the second one, wasn't it? The old Zelda game.
Yeah.
People that were giving them 9 out of 10 instead of 10 out of 10. It's like, nothing can be that perfect. It's so insane, like, why people get so upset. But I guess people get quite tribal. Restaurant-wise, I just think, culturally, I think it's just very different. And I want to live in a world where a 7 out of 10 is pretty good, or a 3 out of 5 is pretty decent, personally. I want to see that.
Well, we live in a world where everything has to be, like, extremely bad or extremely good. There's no middle ground. People often comment on my latest video, like, this is the best video I've ever seen. It's like, on a Born Japan. It's like, this is the best video yet. It's like, it's not, though, is it? It's probably like a 7. It's a 7.5.
7 out of 10.
Yeah. I rate all my videos in my head when I release it. I'm like, that's a 9, or that's a 6.
It's a James Milner. James Milner has played for a million years at football. He's now at Brighton. He's played for Liverpool. And he's a 7 out of 10 player. They can't all be Cristiano Ronaldo. They can't all be 9 out of 10s. They can't all be Lionel Messi. You need the 7 out of 10s to carry the water. You need the 7 out of 10s to keep business ticking over.
Absolutely.
I am a 7 out of 10 man. I'm a 7 out of 10 man.
Yes,
physically, a 3 out of 10. For every other part of me is a 7 out of 10. And I'm fine with that, God damn it. I've got asthma. I've got 7 out of 10 asthma. That knocks me down a few points.
He's a dishevelled out of 10, honestly.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've got graying, receding hair. I'm 7 out of 10.
We should start a movement. 7 out of 10 cult. It's okay to be almost
it's
brilliant,
okay to
but
be
not.
7, god damn it.
It's alright. Yeah. Remember that, guys. Yeah. Write that on your wall. It's good to be a 7 out of 10. It's fine. It's acceptable.
Good to be a 7 out of 10.
Write down. Put it on your wall. But above all, stick around. Come back for the Abroad Japan podcast. Keep the questions, comments coming into the fax machine. We'll be back later in the week to do it again before I head off on journey across Japan on a battle of wits. And I, yeah. In fact, I don't even know if I'm going to see you again before I go, Pete. Hopefully I will. We've got to work that out.
Chris is going to be a 2 out of 10 most mornings.
Going to be
a
10 out of 10 IGN 10 out of 10 Abroad Japan. And I'll be hanging out with solid 8 out of 10 individuals, guests that include Ryotaro, Natsuki, Connor, Sharla, Animation Man, and American Pete. So it's nothing but the best for you. But for now, guys, see you there. Have a great few days, and thanks for joining us here on the Abroad Japan podcast. We'll see you soon.
Ta-ta.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.